Harih Om Sahana Vavatu Sahanau Bhunaktu Sahaviryan Karavavahai Tejasvinavati Tamastuma Vidvishavahai Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So now we have Abhimanyu is about ready to enter the Chakravyuha. Like that. He's stationed himself, he's given his orders to his charioteer. You know now what to do, and now his charioteer, then he speaks. Sumitra, the son of Krishna's charioteer, Daruka, drove towards Drona. As the chariot thundered across the field, he spoke with apprehension. It is my duty to protect you, O best of men. Consider carefully the heavy burden that has been placed upon you. Drona is adept at all kinds of weaponry. He is surrounded by warriors who have yet to be defeated, all arranged in a mighty formation. You, on the other hand, are a child raised in luxury. You have not known the rigors of hard battle. This will certainly be your most difficult fight. Abhimanyu laughed. O charioteer, who is this Drona? Who indeed are all these Kshatriyas supporting him? I would fight with Indra mounted on Airavata and attended by the immortals. How are these foes competent to fight a battle with even a 16th part of me? I, who have the world-conquering Vishnu as my uncle and famous Arjuna as my father, will not quake with terror at the sight of my enemy within the three worlds. Drive on, O Sumitra, make straight for Drona. Right? Because there's a certain way you break the battle. So it said that they're all in key points. So he's decided he's going to break at Drona's key point rather than another. You know, he arranged it. So if he breaks it there, if he breaks it somewhere else, everybody else will be very enthusiastic. But if he breaks it at Drona's place, then people will doubt that the vyuha will be able to be maintained. Sumitra looked at the solid wall of Emmet troops. With a heavy heart, he urged on the horses, which were caparisoned in gold and silver. The chariot raced towards Drona, with Abhimanyu firing volleys of arrows at him and all the warriors by his side. Seeing the standard bearing the Karna tree, Drona recognized Arjuna's son. As the prince charged towards the Kauravas, he seemed like a young lion attacking a herd of elephants. Drona issued orders and began the counterattack. Abhimanyu carefully directed Sumitra and his chariot feigned from side to side as it came at an oblique angle towards the Kaurava attacks. Maintaining his fierce attack on Drona, he simultaneously hurled arrows at the warriors fighting at his sides and rear. As they fell back under his assault, Abhimanyu suddenly veered away to the right. Right, because he's coming at this angle, and you know, and then they're starting to fall back, and then suddenly he turns. Stunning Drona with 100 steel shafts, he raced past him and broke into the formation as the Kauravas looked on in amazement. A frightful encounter ensued as the outer rake of the formation broke apart. The confused battle between the prince and the densely packed troops appeared like the eddies produced when the Ganges meets the ocean. Large numbers of elephant fighters, horsemen, charioteers, and foot soldiers closed in around Abhimanyu, all roaring in delight. Subhadra's son began to cut down his foes with his arrows. He rushed about amid his enemies like a whirlwind. It seemed to the Kauravas as if they were contending with hundreds of Abhimanyus. As various musical instruments sounded, shouts of "Slay him! Fight with me! And where are you going?" mixed with battle cries, the twang of bowstrings, and the clash of weapons. The cries of elephants, the roar of warriors, the tinkling of ornaments, and the clatter of chariot wheels combined to create a deafening and confused din that made everyone's hair stand on end. Abhimanyu ranged about slaughtering the Kaurava warriors by the thousands. His speed and agility were incomparable. The soldiers who faced him were like moths flying into fire. Abhimanyu quickly covered the earth with the bodies of slain warriors like a priest laying kusa grass on the ground during a sacrifice. Well-muscled arms graced with bracelets and gold bangles were lopped off, still clutching weapons. Other arms lay with their hands stretched out, looking like five hooded serpents, thrown about by Garuda. Handsome heads adorned with fine helmets and smeared with the best of perfumes rolled on the ground like ripe fruits fallen from trees. Once within the core of his vyuha, Arjuna's son careened in all directions. None of his foes could fix their aim on him, so swift was his momentum. His arrows flew like streams of golden sunlight. He brought down huge elephants with their riders, scattering their armors and comparisons. Horsemen fell from their saddles, slain by shafts that passed clean through their bodies. Their horses reared in fear and were cut down by Abhimanyu's relentless volleys. The animals lay about weltering in gore, their eyes bulging and their tongues hanging out, sending men and beasts to the blissful regions of departed heroes. So here, that he says, sending them both, that means even the horses will go to the heavenly planets. So you don't have to worry that they died there. They'll go to heaven. Abhimanyu charged repeatedly, uttering fearful war cries. As he displayed various maneuvers, the Kaurava heroes thought him beautiful. They shouted in appreciation. Despite their best efforts to train their weapons on him, they could find no gaps in his defenses. Rather, they approached him. As they approached him, they were struck by dozens of his speeding arrows. Well, Abhimanyu, I think, is also the one where, because Dronacharya taught Arjuna how to put on his armor, so it's so tight that there's no space for even a razor to get in. But when he taught Abhimanyu, he taught him how to put it on loose, so there's gaps. And so then I think Drona was questioned, and he says, you know, why have you taught him that? Because then, as he needs, he can move the armor and close the gaps completely. Because when you say not a razor, the really sharp razor-headed arrows can go in, and they won't go through, but they're little, like a pinprick, you know, and it'll be annoying, because if you get those on, it's annoying, it distracts you. So this way, they'll overlap, and nothing can get through. And Arjuna said, you know, why don't you teach that to me? He says, you don't have the concentration. The Kauravas appeared like the Asura army mangled by Skanda. Subhadra's son moved fearlessly and swiftly through them, leaving a trail of carnage. Thousands of Kaurava fighters threw down their weapons and fled to fight. Forsaking their wounded relatives and friends, they ran wildly in all directions. Elephants ran screaming, and swift horses galloped at full tilt away from Abhimanyu, right? So, leaping over the fallen soldiers who filled the blood-soaked earth, right? They would jump over, but also as they run, it's also going to be a disturbance for their own army, because they're going away from him. And so then, whoever's there, they won't be able to fight with all these people coming and things like that, or they might even get stepped on, you know? Duryodhana was incensed. Reckless of his own safety, he rushed at Abhimanyu with a roar. Seeing this, Drona was alarmed, and he shouted to the warriors around him, "Save the king! Ashwatthama, Kripa, Karna, Shakuni, Shalya, and another half-dozen heroes all converged on Abhimanyu. The young prince was covered with a thick downpour of arrows. Spinning on the terrace of his chariot, he countered the arrows with his own as Sumitra maneuvered his chariot clear. He pierced every one of his assailants with stinging arrows that could hardly be seen as they flew. The Kaurava warriors then attacked Abhimanyu on all sides. They rained down their shafts by the thousands, but the prince either warded them off or dexterously evaded them. Some shafts penetrated his defenses and pierced his armor, but he did not flinch. Taking careful aim, he sent a dozen arrows that broke apart the chariot of King Ashmaka, a powerful Kaurava ally. With a further six arrows, he slew the king's four horses, his chariot, Tyr, and the king himself. Seeing the monarch slain, the Kaurava warriors turned and fled. Duryodhana and Karna fought side by side, sending their arrows at Abhimanyu in volleys. Bearing the arrows like a mountain bears showers of rain, Abhimanyu sped at Karna, a powerful arrow capable of piercing his armor. It struck him on the shoulder and dug deep into his body. Pained, Karna stood like a hill in an earthquake and fell in a swoon. Abhimanyu then stunned Duryodhana with 16 arrows, followed that by slaying four more kings supporting the Kaurava. Shalya and Ashwatthama assailed him from both flanks at once. Exhibiting the speed and skill of his father, Abhimanyu shot his steel-tipped shafts at Shalya and sent him reeling in his chariot. So the skill of his father, because they're at both flanks. So that means he also can shoot from both sides. Because they, you know, compared him to his father. As the arrow struck Shalya, Abhimanyu spun around and released a dozen more at Ashwatthama. Their force rocked Drona's son, and he squatted down on the terrace of his chariot. The Kauravas facing Abhimanyu fled in greater and greater numbers. Only the foremost heroes could stand against him. Even they were soon overpowered by his furious attack. As he ranged about on his glittering chariot, Siddhas and Charanas praised him from the skies. The Kauravas also cheered him, feeling simultaneous awe and anger as they were forced back by his peerless martial skills. So, because the Kshatriyas, you know, that mood, then is that of, you know, practical application of the Vedic, you know, rules and regulations. So anybody who's very expert at that, they will appreciate. They may not be their, you know, friend or that, but they have to appreciate it. It's well done. They can't say, oh, this is not, they're not politicians. Politicians will say, oh, that's nothing or this or that. No, that's the problem with Duryodhana. He's more of a politician. But the others, then they'll say, this is good. Even though he's the enemy, they have to say, he's a good fighter. Abhimanyu slew thousands of Kauravas, anyone who came before him. Shalya's younger brother, Madra, seeing Shalya afflicted by Abhimanyu, rushed angrily at him. He hurled 20 blazing darts at him, but the prince cut them to pieces. Abhimanyu counterattacked Madra with long shafts that shattered his chariot and cut off his arms, legs, and the head simultaneously. That would be wild. Legs, arms, and head simultaneously. So it's just all cut off, and then the body will just drop. Because, just, you know, the others fall or, you know, something else, but this is just... As Madra fell dead from his chariot, thousands of warriors in his army charged angrily at Abhimanyu. Calling out their names as they attacked, they shouted, "You will not escape with your life today, even if it costs us our own lives." Subhadra's son met their attack with a deadly volley of arrows. He invoked celestial missiles he had received from his father and uncle. His bow resembled the blazing summer sun as he sent waves of horseshoe-headed and calf-tooth-headed shafts slamming into the Kaurava warriors, tearing them apart. With crescent-headed and barbed shafts, Abhimanyu mangled his foes fearlessly, mercilessly. He carved through their divisions unchecked, dispersing them as the sun disperses mist. Right? Because when there's mist, sun comes up, the mist just disappears. It's not like it's even a challenge. Drona could not conceal his admiration for Arjuna's son. Duryodhana had come up to him, and the preceptor said, "Just see, O king, how this youthful prince advances against our forces, giving delight to his friends and relatives. I do not think any bowman is his equal. Surely he could annihilate our entire host if he so desired." Man. Duryodhana was enraged, right? Because, as we said, he's more of a politician than a... He's a Kshatriya, but he acts more like a politician, which is a more of a fallen position for, you know, if all you have is your politic and all that, and your political correctness and these kind of things, then you're not actually a good leader. You know, here, Drona, he appreciates the enemy. He said, then you can fight. Niti Shastra makes one point, is that when the enemy is explained to the king makes some comment about, you know, what do we care for them? And then the minister says, then he says, you know, this point, it says, if you don't have respect for your enemy and know their strengths, you know, you claim about weaknesses, but you have to know their strengths. If you don't know their strengths, you will be defeated. It's only someone who respects his enemy and knows his strengths and weaknesses then can find a way to defeat the enemy. But otherwise, if you think he's weak, he does something strong, he can defeat you because you think he's not strong. Duryodhana was enraged. Still he smiled and said to Karna, who was stopped next to him, "It is clear the preceptor is affectionate towards Arjuna's son." See, he just has to make it personal. You can't just keep it, yes, he's a great warrior, but now we still have to defeat him. You know, we have a challenge. You know, you keep it on the battlefield. He always has to make it personal. Always, you know, put in the knife and then you have to turn it and twist it and like that. You can't just, you know, stab somebody and leave it at that. No, you have to, you know, make a little bit more, a little bit more. So that's, yeah. But as it said, your drama is as good as your villain. So, because he's the most disgusting of all demons, therefore, then Mahabharata is such a good story. You know, otherwise, why does he not slay him? None can resist the angry Drona when he stands with his weapons in battles. He only says that to get him angry. He's not actually a praise. It's just to get him. If I make this comment and he'll feel bad, and I make this comment and he'll feel good. It's all politics. It's just straight politics. None can resist the angry Drona when he stands with his weapons in battle. He spares this youth out of love for Arjuna. Protected by Drona, Abhimanyu is able to exhibit his prowess. Well, the time has come to kill him. O Karna, waste no time in slaying this arrogant child. Crush him at once. Right. So he's 16, so they'll call him a child. But technically speaking, 16 means you're an adult, so he's not a child anymore, and he's married. So that makes him a full member of the community. So then it's just talking about it's just that he's young, that's all. Dushasana heard his brother's words and replied, "Leave this to me. I will slay him before the Pandavas' eyes. Hearing that I have killed this boy, Krishna and Arjuna, the two braggarts, will surely go to the regions of the departed. Without doubt, all their kinsmen will be consumed by grief and will follow their path." Right, you know, Bryce talked about. "Wish me well, O king. I will now challenge Subhadra's overly proud son." But he's not overly proud. He's just confident, you know, of his battle skills, and he's applying them. Overly proud means he's confident and he's not doing anything. Dushasana rushed at Abhimanyu with a loud cry. He fired a shower of arrows decked with buzzard feathers that covered Abhimanyu's chariot. The young prince smiled as he recognized his antagonist, and he struck him at once with 24 shafts. Not tolerating the attack, Dushasana increased the ferocity of his own assault. He fired at Abhimanyu arrows and darts that blazed brilliantly as they flew toward him. The prince countered the missiles and returned his own in large numbers. Both combatants exhibited various maneuvers in their chariots, showing skill that delighted the onlookers. The Kauravas sounded all kinds of musical instruments and cheered as Dushasana pressed his attack on Abhimanyu. Holding off his opponent's attack, Abhimanyu called out to him, "By good luck, I find before me a vain warrior of cruel deeds and lost righteousness. He who ever brays of his own prowess and knows only sinful deeds." Because bray means like a donkey, they bray. So, you know, it's not even like he's speaking. It's like, you know, nobody likes the braying of the donkey. No one appreciates that it's great poetry. "With joy you pierced Yudhishthira and Bhima with your wicked words. Pay for that crime now, O evil-minded one. Suffer for the sin of grasping the sinless Draupadi's hair. Reap the final fatal fruits of your ignorance, violence, covetousness, and persecution of others. I shall now chastise you severely before all these warriors, thus freeing myself from the burden of anger I bear against you." In a matter of seconds, Abhimanyu fixed an effulgent golden arrow on his bow and fired it with all his power. It dug deeply into Dushasana's shoulder, and he dropped his bow. Abhimanyu struck him with a further 25 shafts that burned like fire. Pierced on his chest and arms, the Kaurava squatted in pain and fell into a swoon. His charioteer quickly carried him from the fight. Seeing Dushasana overpowered, Karna came to challenge Abhimanyu, but he too could not defeat the young warrior. Abhimanyu gradually forced him back with dozens of arrows. With his standard cut down and his armor shattered, Karna fell back and turned away. Several sons of Adirata, whom Karna considered his own brothers, were supporting him. One of them rushed at Abhimanyu in a rage. He launched 100 arrows at him and set up a battle cry. Abhimanyu turned to face the impetuous warrior. The young prince, whose mind was free from malice, struck Karna's brother with 30 powerful arrows. He broke his standard, killed his horses, and shattered his chariot wheels. As his antagonist fired back, Abhimanyu lopped off his head with a crescent-headed shaft. Right, so his other brothers, right, several other sons of Adirata. So being suttas, then one is, you know, natural occupation to take up is that of a charioteer. you know, like that, especially since Adhirata himself was a, you know, very excellent charioteer. But a sutta technically can become, you take up either brahminical activities, kshatriya activities, or that of the charioteer. So we see that they took up the fighting, you know, like Karna, you know, took up that mood. So they also took that up. Right? So then we'll see, you know, how Abhimanyu's further, you know, decimation of the Kaurava troops unfolds. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai.